Really good to see everybody. Many visitors, welcome to the Extended Row Clan there. Now we're here with you. And to be fair, this is not my normal gig. And contrary to what Rick says, you may get a good sermon, you may not. But we are, again, and I want to say that too, we are truly blessed to have a man like Rick here, been here for many, many years with us. And we are truly a blessed congregation for that as well. Another side note too, when I talked to Rick a couple weeks ago and volunteered for this, I confess 50% of it is because, okay, it's time to do a lesson. The other 50% of it is, okay, there's going to be a meal later. And with that being said, everybody looks over at Max and Mike, and then they wonder, who's it going to be? But anyway, if you haven't heard, or if you will, and haven't made plans, I highly suggest you. Chicken legs may not be your thing, but the cobbler will. You will not be disappointed either way. So please stay with us afterwards to have a meal. And to take a time and say our farewells to a dear friend as she and the family moves on as well. But with that too, I would like to open up in John chapter 16. Got the glasses. Don't leave the glasses. John 14. In verse 27, Jesus is talking here. He is, as we know, the Last Supper. He's gathered with his disciples. They've broken bread for the last time. Judas has done his part, and Satan has entered him. And we know it's coming to an end. Jesus' time on earth is coming to an end. After Judas leaves, he sits down and he is, for lack of a better term, Jesus is fielding questions from the other disciples here too. And he's asking some questions. Again, and Jesus is teaching this because he knows his time is coming to an end on the earth with his disciples and the things he's going to have to teach them. But pick that up in John 14, start 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And another side note to a side note, me and Rick did not coordinate any of these sermons. Rick has started a very good topic and going to be a gospel sermon on the road, but he is talking about fear and the understanding of what fear drives, and fear is that. With that in mind, the same questions, and I'll get that a little later too, but the things that we're living in right now in our present society, in our present climate, if you will, it leads to a uncertainty, a fear, a lack of peace, if you will. And with that, in Luke 12, we have to flow up, but Jesus is talking about there. Jesus did not come to bring peace. He says he divides, and father against mother, and father against son, mother-in-law gets on, you know that too. And I ask that question, well, how can that be? How can he talk to the disciples, peace I leave with you, but just before, in Luke, he's talking about he does not bring peace. I'm going to offer this up. Those are two different pieces. I don't know if that's right. Two different pieces. Two different types of peace. With that, we'll pause for a moment. I'm going to share from Max. I'm not going to use Max's Jumbotron, but I'm going to use the mental hand raising. I'm going to ask a few questions. So don't raise your hands. If you want to, go right ahead. But I'm going to ask a few questions. And raise your mental hand along with Max's mental board. But and then feel free to look around at other people's mental answers, if you will, too. But with these questions, like something like, who here amongst us has a great sum of money stored up? Retirement is just days away. And if not just that, how are we preparing ourselves for a retirement? Money in mind. Who has a mask? Who has a mask on their person, in their vehicle, ready, available to bring peace, because that's what they want us to do? Who has the number to 911 memorized? that's common. But we know if we pick up the phone and dial 911, somebody's going to be on the other end to render assistance, whatever that assistance be, whether it be law enforcement, whether it be medical, somebody's going to be there to answer that phone. So memorize that number, 911. It's kind of a tricky subject, but who here owns a gun? Who here knows somebody that owns a gun? And why do you own a gun? Protection. And of that protection, what does that bring you? We've got a lot of avid gun people that do it because that's what they do, but we also have those that have a gun for protection. That one too, and then the next question, who here's wondering why they gave this guy time to get up and ramble on? That's a free one. And last question I want to ask is, who here can say that they're saved? And by saved, I mean know where they go when this life is over. I don't want to put yourself in the mind of God and of Christ, the Holy Spirit. We're not going to put ourselves in judgment. That's God's job. He will make the judgment call at the end. My question is, are you saved? Have you done what the Scripture commands? Have you done your part? Obeyed the Word, been baptized, confessed your belief, done what the Bible says. So that's all the questions. Now, of those questions, which one brings you the most peace? If you answered yes to any one of those questions, which one brings you the most peace? Which one should bring you the most peace? And another rhetorical question that I don't think, we can have all the money in the world. We can have a protection from a government. We can protect ourselves with a rock, a stick, a firearm. These are the things that I don't want to say trivial, because even like the masks themselves we wear, they serve a purpose. They are there for a reason. They all serve to give peace. But of all those questions I ask, which one that you answered yes to gives you the most peace? Philippians 4. Somebody moved Philippians to the other side of my Bible. Philippians 4, verse 7. And, he's talking about, Paul's talking here again. They're talking about the rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, starting in verse 4, let's go and start there for the paragraph. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. This is the peace I want to focus on. This is not the peace of a large sum of money. This is not the peace of picking up a phone and having the police show up. This is not the peace of a peace of, a peace with a lack of conflict. Because we as Christians have never been promised that magic talisman. Because we are Christians, we're not going to not experience the throes, the problems of the world. This is the peace that I'm talking about and what Christ is talking about here. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. The idea that inner peace of inside. With that, it's not quite fair. I talked to Max this morning about a class that he had, one of his many fill-ins he's had recently, and we were talking about the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? And the idea, this class went on, we talked about, well, what is a kingdom? Well, a kingdom, it takes a king, it takes servants, people, and then it takes a realm, a border. And then with that, we liken that to, well, we don't have that royalty crown kingdom, but God's realm, God's kingdom is within each and every Christian inside of us. That the peace, and that again, I want to kind of bring those two in line, because with that kingdom of God that is within inside of those that choose to accept what God has proposed, that same peace is within our hearts, within Christians. Just much like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for everybody, but the Holy Spirit is only in the ones that choose to accept and receive the Holy Spirit inside and let the Holy Spirit do His work with us, with Christians, in that true belief, as we know. I also want to bring in line to this idea of that this peace, again here in verse 7, the understanding regard that understanding will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, much like this kingdom that Max was talking about a while back, there is a peace that guards us. It doesn't guard us from calamities. It doesn't guard us from natural disasters. It does not guard us from ill health. It brings that peace, that internal peace, that we can accept and know that we have God's gift when this world is done. You know, again, I like that we did not coordinate this talk, but Rick was talking this morning about the things that we fear, the things that affect us on a day-to-day basis. We live in a world that is surrounded with a pandemic now. You can live in fear of that. And we all may die tomorrow, according to our government, but I doubt it. But even if we did, if we are living in peace with the Christ, with the promises that are given, then all that is irrelevant because we have that inner peace amongst ourselves. A few other verses I want to tag along to is because you'll find when you look through and for lack of look up peace, you'll find something that's tied with it when he's talking about this peace. So I want to hit a few verses here real quick. Just talk about the things that are tied to it. Hebrews 12. 12, starting in 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. We talked about discipline this morning too. We talked about fear. The fear is the beginning of knowledge. But no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms, your weak knees, make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live at peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I went on to talk about making peace with it. As long as it lives, and again, that peace itself is that peace that we understand. You know, as long as it lives with us too. Even Christ got angry. Even Christ kicked over tables when it was against his will, well, against God's will. But the point of that I'm trying to look at, this idea about peace, this inner peace, it doesn't come by itself. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. This peace that we're talking about is inner peace. You can't have it without the understanding of what God has laid in store for you. The righteousness, his children, his obedient ones will be given that peace, that inner peace. The next one over in Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32 and starting in 17. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effects of righteousness will be quietness, confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, undisturbed places of rest. Again, that's what I'm liking too. You can't have this peace without the righteousness that God has given. The internal peace I'm talking about. The conflicts of the world will still remain and still happen. Real quick to Romans. Romans 14 and 17. Didn't mark it. Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Again, the point being this righteousness giving the peace and the joy through this Holy Spirit. Again, I restate, the Holy Spirit is for everybody, but not everybody accepts the Holy Spirit, because once you do the commandment, then he is given that gift of the Holy Spirit with us. One more in James. James 3 and 18. But just quick, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Again, a quick idea that without the peace, that will be given the righteousness of those that accept that too. And then another, I'll change gears a little bit too. And probably the catalyst of this whole lesson, a few weeks ago, we had our Wednesday night singing, and this song was led, and it's very familiar, and we'll get to it this evening. But the song 646. Again, I understand this is these are words not inspired. These are not scriptures. This is a poem, if you will, a speaking of. And a side note too, this author, you'll flip a few pages back, you'll read he penned this. He was a businessman. He got into some trouble, lost a son. He sent his wife the remaining family was going to be sent overseas, and they was going to gather up. There was a problem at home, so he sent his wife and his daughter on to England. This was like turn of the century, 1870s. Anyway, the boat that his wife and the daughter on, problem, it sank. He got a note back saying that I survived alone. So his wife survived. His daughter perished in that ride. So on his way over, he had the captain wake him up to remember the spot where the crash was, the ship sank was, and he wanted to pause and to think about his lost daughter there. As I understand, this was, and at this time is when he wrote these words, the idea of the loss, that peace that he found. Anyway, let's, I'll just read it for that way. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows, like sea billows, roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bless of the glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And the Lord haste the day when the faint shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend, even though it is well with my soul. A personal note to that, to understanding that even though the life, the trouble, the loss that we all inevitably going to face, how hard it is to deal with that without knowing that we have the comfort of God that has laid up in store for us, that we'll all part this world. We will all see our end. That's not questionable. The question is, what do we do at the end? Just as we know, what can a man do to you? He can hurt you bad. He can hurt you and be in extreme pain for a long time. But once he takes your life, he can hurt you no more. That is the end that it is. But again, that peace, that understanding of what Christ gives us, should we belong to him, as it will. Another side note too, if you notice on top of all these songs, they have verses tied to them. You know, this was Isaiah 66:12, and then one more verse, another one in Isaiah, and we're talking about the relationship of, but Isaiah 48. And 18. 48 and 18. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. This is, again, to tie this together, this he likens this peace to the river. We've all been a river, whether it be big river, little river, the flowing, the continual flowing of the river. That he likens this peace to that river, that never-ending stream. There's always something behind it. The waves of the sea, they keep coming in. Troubles will abound. We will have many, many troubles in this life. That's inevitable. But should we guard ourselves with that, then we understand that Christ is in control and God has our, and then we will have eternity with him one day. Again, and I put this together, again, not in relation to what Rick's talking about, but we do find ourselves in an environment where we do live in the middle of a pandemic. There is no guarantee of tomorrow, of what it holds. Turn on the news, and we have seen fires before. It will be fed in those like fires, and we have seen floods before, and we have seen lack of rain before. These are all things that continue. And another one, trying not to get political, but for some reason, the news and the media and the society we live in, somehow the last 3-4 years we have all become systemic racists, and we just cannot live with each other anymore. Nay, nay, I say. I say this crowd, this town, this community, I dare you find somebody that would not give literally the shirt off the back to help somebody. It's just that way. But again, I only say that for the reason being, for some reason, some organizations feel like it's necessary to cause turmoil and cause problems like that. And I'm not saying that we don't have problems, and we do. There are problems out there in the world, and we cannot be in control of all that. But and I'll finish up back in Philippians 4, been talking about the guarding. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Jesus Christ. These are the things to bear for. This is the peace that Christ gives us. Again, I'll just have to stop and leave the lesson with you too, because we all know that there are things to do. Peace, what is peace? So we're making a move, rowing one eating and Cantandra picking up. That is very unpeaceful until you get settled. That is the definition of unpeaceful. But that too will come to an end. And understand that there is a given grace, a given hope of this will all end and things will be better. And we will all continue on. Of course, our prayers go with each as you do that too as well. But with that being said, I'll leave the lesson with you. And as always, if there's any need, anything, prayers, you talk to God. If you need to put Christ on the baptism, we'll always give that invitation. And with that invitation, we give as we stand and as we sing.